Flexible Consistency of an Absolute Philosopher. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, Absolute Philosophy, University of Philosophy here in Campo, California, with Flexible Consistency of an Absolute Philosopher. We find that a little inconsistent, the flexible consistency of an absolute philosopher. An absolute philosopher, we'd think, is someone who has an absolute philosophy. It has no possibility of being different from what it is and how it expresses and how it reveals itself. Well, that's both true and not true. An absolute philosopher is one who has a philosophy that is consistent all the time. And the flexible consistency takes place within that consistent philosophy that an absolute philosopher has. How would you give an illustration for something like that? An absolute philosopher always thinks positive thoughts. Well, the flexible consistency of always thinking positive thoughts is that every thought is positive. And every thought that we think, whether we call it beneficial or non-beneficial, positive or negative, it is always positive. It is always a definite thought being thought. Now, when we think of the universe, and we think of the allness, an absolute philosopher likes to think in the allness, when we think in the allness, we are thinking of every possibility that can be. Now, nothing is created nor destroyed. Nothing has a beginning or an ending. Everything already is. Every thought that ever could be thought, has been thought, is thought now, and exists. Every object, every emotion, every relationship, every marriage and every non-marriage, every activity on the human level has been done and is being done and will be done eternally, because it always is, was, and always will be. So, we have no escape from that reality. Our only decision in our flexible consistency is our choice of what reality we choose to have. Now, just as a silly illustration, a person who wants to become a forest ranger becomes a forest ranger, and as a forest ranger, he lives in a forest ranger's world. He lives in a world of forests, of trees, of animals, of plants. He lives in a world of ecology, a world in which the lovely aspects of nature are retained to the best of his ability, to the best of his understanding and training. Now, you take another person who lives in a world of Wall Street, and they're living in a world of business offices, tall buildings, and mechanization, and businesses with computers and contaminators and all these gadgets that go into Wall Street and go into the technical business life, far from the forest. And yet, many of these technical devices are now being seen on the forest floor. They're being used to monitor animals, monitor trees, monitor programs to find out how they're progressing and if there is things that can be done to make them more secure and more physically sound and capable. Well, you see, even the absolute philosopher in his flexible consistency includes all possibilities. But you and I are an individual. We, as an individual, think our individual thoughts in our individual world. We are the forester, or we are the person in the Wall Street. Now, we could be both, and there's no reason why not. The forester could easily have an office on Wall Street and an office in the forest. He could easily be busy in both places doing a tremendous variety of things, because the mind is capable of such an infinite variety of things that we haven't even begun to consider the possibilities of the things that we can do. You take, for instance, just the head of any business, the head of any community, the head of any state, the head of any nation. He has such a variety of things to consider, such a variety of things to be active in his mind, and he may have offices in many places. Now, he certainly has a flexible consistency within the art of his work. Now, does that mean that this flexible consistency ever allows him to be unaware that all is now? Does that allow him to be unaware that all is in the now? That the only living that he's doing is in the now? When the president is in his office in Washington, he is in the now in his office in Washington. When the president is speaking to a convocation of university students at Harvard, then he is at Harvard speaking to that convocation of university students. Now, he is totally in that realm. But his talk, it revolves around many issues. His talk revolves around issues of government, issues of health and welfare, issues of economy, issues beyond our imagination. In one talk, he could talk about at least a dozen issues or more, and be consistent, and yet be flexible, and be aware, and be totally on top of everything that he's talking about. Now, when the president, in the illustration, talks about the past, and tries to explain the past, he is in quicksand. He is quickly running out of existence. When the president is talking about the future, he is again in a quicksand. He is in a condition that is not in his consciousness, something that he can fully account for, as he cannot fully account for the past. He can only account for the present. And if a president were seeking re-election, he would seek re-election based upon what he is doing now. What is his thought now about any part of the world, about any aspect of the world that comes under his purview, any aspect of the world that comes under his review, his control, his direction as President of the United States. You and I don't have to think in such grand terms like that, but it does give us an opportunity to be objective. Now let's be objective about ourselves. If we think in things about the past, we say, well, we have to understand where the sewers were put. No, we're thinking about where the sewers are, not where they were put, but where they are right now. We have to think about where the water lines are, where the electrical power lines are right now. And we have to say, I choose to have more electrical power. In my mind right now, I see that done. More electrical power brought into our larger cities because they use a great deal more power. And the power should be easily controlled and easily directed. Not that it's limited, but it is distributed in a way that is most beneficial for everyone's use. Now, and that is in the now, in the right now. I visualize it, I see it, and it's done now. You see, this is how visualization is such an important part for us. Not thinking of the future, but seeing it done right now, because we are tuning in to a fact that it is done right now, and we are seeing it done right now, and we are experiencing it done right now, and indeed it always was done right now, and is done right now. Sounds strange to say, always was done right now. But we are not creating something new, we are not creating something different, we are not improving on anything, we are merely revealing that improvement that is already there. We're merely revealing that reality which is already there. Now, that takes a very great flexible consistency on the behalf of any being. The ability to live in the now. Oh, it's very easy to reminisce. It's very easy to walk down memory lane. Very easy to remember the past and remember things and read writers who write about the past and how gloriously they write about it. And that's very noble and very wonderful. Putting that in the premise of today is an art. Because thinking all is today is an art. When you visualize yourself as a Roman soldier walking down the streets of Rome, you visualize yourself at that time, in that place, doing that thing. But I said to you, visualize yourself a Roman soldier walking down the Roman streets. Why did you have to run back to the time of the emperors, the time when Rome was at its peak? Why didn't you just walk down the street of Rome today, right now, as a Roman soldier? Do you believe that Rome has soldiers, that Italy has soldiers? Oh, they're called Italian soldiers, but if they're stationed in Rome, they are Roman soldiers. If they're stationed in Milan, they're Milan soldiers of the Italian government. But visualize yourself as a Roman soldier. Well, then you visualize yourself as a member of the military in Rome. Now, you gather yourself together and you come into a very modern phase. If you had thought of yourself as a Roman soldier of yesterday, you'd be wearing a toga and you'd be wearing sandals and you'd be carrying a spear and a shield and you'd be having very simple weapons of war. And today, the Roman soldiers, the Italian military, have the most modern equipment that anyone could ever dream about. Hardly togas and swords and shields. But an absolute philosopher does not dwell in the past. You say, well, it's so interesting. That's right. That's what it's designed to do. It's designed to titillate you. It's designed to take you away from living in the now. The past is a beautiful program designed to take us into another realm, to take us into the realm of the past, which we live right now, which our bodily juices respond to right now, which our mental attitudes respond to right now. But you see, when we are absolute philosophers and we have this flexible consistency, we can take all possibilities and utilize them right now in this present now and live, work, and be in this now. It takes a great deal of strength to do that, because just as the foods that are so delicious to our taste are fattening, just as excess of anything can be destructive to us, so it is with living in the past. It is made so charming by our consciousness that we want to dwell there. Memories are so wonderful, we want to look at them. As people get older, they like to think in memory time because they cannot think in the now. When people get older, and they are so active about life, so participant in life, so taking part in the now, they will have little time for dwelling in yesterday. The couch potato likes the videos and the movies because he can dwell in yesterday. The active person is too excited to dwell in the past. The active person lives a now that is so dynamic and so powerful and so beautiful and so wonderful. You go in and you talk to a little child and he doesn't have a past. He lives in the now totally. And perhaps this is why we're told to become as little children, to enter into the allness. Because we live in the now. There is no past. There is only the now. And when you're talking to children and they're in their room and they're working on projects, and you look at one child and he's working on a project and he's developing this beautiful concept of a system that brings power to the universe out of the sun's rays, and right now he's doing it. And another is in there in this war game, and he's at war with the world and at war with all the projects that he's working on. And another in their room is dressing up with pretty clothes and looking for the day when they will just be a year older and they can wear lipstick and all these other things that are so charming. And you see, where is it that we are as an absolute philosopher? Are we living in the now and enjoying doing things now? Or are we liking to dwell in the past and live in the past? When we live in the past, we grow old soon and we die. When we live in the now, we live eternally. We work crossword puzzles. We do all sorts of things that sparkle the mind and that challenge the mind and that delight the mind and that keep us active and busy. Oh, yes. Many young people today, entrepreneurs, have found some sort of gimmick in the world of mathematics, in the world of computers, in the world of science, and they have created businesses that have been just beautiful, booming, million-billion-dollar businesses, whereas their parents would never have dreamed of such a thing, or maybe they had. And maybe they were the inspiration to their children of thinking beautiful thoughts, being unlimited, knowing that everything is possible because everything is. Join with me in living in the now. It's a wonderful adventure, and I so enjoy it. And as the absolute philosopher, I don't know anything else to do. Isn't life grand? Oh, my goodness. My goodness sakes, yes. I love you. I love you. I love you.